Time once again for the breakdown on a Thursday morning. My name is Jared Knight, and we're joined as always by Mr. Bob Akin. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Are you ready to break something down?
I think the music indicates it's time.
Why don't we break down a couple of items here that are timely and in the wide world of elections, and then we'll wrap up with something a little more serious.
Okay.
Tennis. I think it is safe to say that the eyes of the nation were on Texas for the court-ordered delayed primaries that occurred Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there was any great trend here. A lot of cross currents. Somebody described it as a mixed bag of results. But let's talk about a couple of things, both locally, right here in Hunt County,
mm-hmm.
and in a couple of surrounding counties.
Sure.
But also take a look and see what it all means statewide. Is there anything that this is significant? In Hunt County, there literally were no contested races in the Democratic primary. There was no seriously contested presidential election for delegates to the national convention going on. As he did across the state, Obama won right at 90% of the vote of people that showed up. What's interesting, though, is that in the Republican presidential primary, which nobody was focusing on because the assumption was Romney had it sacked up, Romney got about 2/3 of the total vote in the Republican primary. Now, that is a little different from 4 years ago when Mike Huckabee, who was on the verge of elimination, beat John McCain 2-1 in Hunt County,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
4 years ago Obama and Clinton split the county almost evenly. Pretty much a reflection of how they had done across the country,
right.
Certainly within the margin of error.
Right.
But what's interesting here is that the total votes that came in, there were a little over 9,000, about 9,500 total votes cast in the Republican primary, and there were just under 1,000 cast in the Democratic primary. Admittedly, no competition, and I mean it was the hardcore of the hardcore who showed up.
Sure.
But it's something that's worth pointing out, that four notable new Republicans, or those who were running as Republicans, of those who won in four races, two of them, fairly recent Democrats, won in the Republican primaries.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Beacom was reelected district judge because he has no Democratic opponent, and he had switched parties. He had been elected, three times as district judge as a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
His principal opponent was a two-time Democratic county attorney who also ran in the Republican primary, Philip Martin, who lost 4 years ago after serving at least two terms, and maybe three, on the commissioner's court from the Lake Area, Lone Oak, southeastern commissioner's precinct, running as a Republican this time, beat the Republican incumbent who beat him 4 years ago. On the other hand, Richard Hill, another Democrat who ran as a Republican 4 years ago, again, lost again, running for sheriff. George Alexander, whose biggest complaint about negative campaigning was, they're saying terrible things. They're calling me a lifelong Democrat, but George, you are a lifelong Democrat, just like these other guys had been. What happened was that there were nobody who was serious about county government countywide on a countywide basis were running as Democrats anymore. They were running in the Republican primary. That's not true in Commerce because almost half the votes counted in the entire county in the Democratic primary were cast in Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that shows no sign of changing anytime soon. 4 years ago, just like it had occurred 40 years before, most of the county, including Greenville, voted better than 2-1 for McCain against Obama, and Obama carried Commerce by a comparable margin. That's going to happen again this fall. Because there hasn't been anything that has changed that, Commerce will remain the little blue oasis in a red sea. And that's not going to change anytime soon. But it's something that is worth pointing out that around here, several state reps, including Dan Flynn, who is, I suppose one would say, hardcore opponent of the Republican Speaker of the House, several of his Tea Party Annie Strauss allies either were elected for the first time or were reelected to the House immediately around here. Now, there were a couple who also lost. It is something that we should always, though, bear in mind is that the most important single act that a state rep does, the first thing that happens after swearing in, is who do you vote for Speaker? Well, the Speaker's race took on an interesting coloration. While David Dewhurst, who was accused of being a dangerous moderate and a compromiser, since those are just not permissible in some circles anymore, Dewhurst didn't quite make it over the finish line without a runoff. I think that shows real danger, even though he finished better than 15 or 16, 17 percentage points ahead of his opponent. It's going to be a real light turnout at the end of July. Who's the most motivated? There's also going to be some runoffs for state rep, including two of Strauss's key committee chairs and lieutenants in the House.
Right.
The essential thing that we take out of this is that who's going to control the House, there's probably going to be some Strauss lieutenants who are not coming back, but also some Strauss opponents who are not coming back. The next House is going to look an awful lot more like the House did 4 years ago, in which there is an increase, though nowhere near a majority, but an increased number of Democrats who could vote with pro-Strauss Republicans to organize the House again. The question is whether or not the Tea Party folks are going to attempt to prevent or hamper the pro-Strauss Republicans from doing that again.
Sure.
They attempted to do that twice. Now, that's something, you know, that we'll watch for and see kind of what happens in November. We'll take a look at another election that's going on right now where there is a runoff in the first ever meaningful election in any Arab nation, what the runoff for president in Egypt, which has some foreign policy implications for the United States.
Sure.
That we'll take a look at when we come back, but we also need to keep our eye on the first Grand Slam of the summer that's going on. It's a good tennis tournament.
We will be watching out for that. Mr. Aiken, thank you so much for joining.
We will do it again.
We are your station, 88.9 KETR.
The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily express those of Texas A&M University Commerce or 88.9 KETR.